Your Merseyside, 10:26. Now, as I mentioned before, if you are a regular listener to BBC Radio Merseyside, you'll know the relationship that we have with the School of Tropical Medicine. We've always had one. We've been up there, you know, doing stories for years, but it's become more poignant, hasn't it, really, over the past year. And incredible work they do in their field towards finding a vaccine as well. So if you're on your way to get your jab today, School of Tropical Medicine have played a little part in that. Which has soon become a big part too. They've been real stalwarts talking to us on when I did breakfast all the way through the year. But of course, before all of this, they were doing incredible work abroad, all over the world. And some of that work is currently taking place in African countries, Malawi, Zimbabwe, Kenya as well. Dr. Jamie Rylands is a reader in respiratory medicine at the Liverpool School of Tropical Medicine. He's also a respiratory consultant at Aintree Hospital too. He's out in Malawi at the moment and can join us now. Dr. Jamie, morning to you. What's the COVID situation there at the moment, and how long have you been there?
I've been based in Malawi for 4 years now, so I'm not sure my Aintree colleagues would recognise me. But COVID in Malawi, we've had a relatively easy ride of it compared to the UK, at least initially, and had a first wave back in the summer of last year. But in the last month or so, things have really taken a turn for the worst in terms of our number of cases, which are now 10 times the first peak, and struggling a little bit to deal with the volume of patients, and when we can see that we're still on an exponential increase. So we are really trying our best with a very large number of patients.
How is it with the information and how people gain information and the correct information as well? And we have the press briefings here, we have the BBC, we have other outlets as well to pass that information on. Is it difficult in some of the places that you work in to get that correct information for people, such as masks and hygiene, etc.?
Yeah, so I guess there's the information that's collected, sort of the epidemiology information about the number of cases. And of course, we only collect from a relatively small number of centres. So although we know what's going on in towns and the bigger cities, in the rural areas, we're really not all that sure. But in terms of the public health messages, I think we're doing pretty well. The government have managed to put the messages out about masks, about physical distancing, and about working from home where possible. But of course, you know, just like the UK, the majority of people can't manage that. So it's about making the best of what we can do. But we know that in Malawi has this other challenges, perhaps related to physical distancing in public transport that people necessarily use to get to work, and in other areas it's a rainy season at the moment, and so perhaps people cluster indoors a little bit more than normal. So there's a few differences, but generally speaking people are doing pretty well.
And what about kits such as PPE? I mean, at the beginning of all this almost a year ago, the NHS had shortages of PPE. How does an African country and community cope with the need for that? How does that work?
Yes, in some ways we were a little bit lucky in that our first wave was delayed, so we had a bit more time to make preparations, and we've had huge generosity from funders, both private and public, that have enabled us to have sufficient PPE at the Malawi Liverpool Wellcome Trust where I work, but also more broadly in the government centres. And I think there have been shortages of PPE, but what we're trying to do at the moment is really make sure that the healthcare workers, while they're faced with such a huge demand, are keeping themselves safe, are able to wear the right PPE. And that's part of what we're doing at the moment with our drive to increase the buffers and improve our stocks. Yeah. We're just about managing, but we certainly could do with all the help we can get.
This is the Bump It Forward campaign, isn't it? Tell us a little more.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I've talked about our previous donations, and last year we were very fortunate to be given money to provide an oxygen plant to the main hospital in Blantyre, which is doing really well and saved hundreds of lives, I think. The PPE that I've talked about last year, that's also going on. But it's clear that going forwards, and particularly in this extreme times in Malawi and a lot of other African sites that we work, the PPE and keeping our healthcare workers safe is really important. So what we've said is that we know vaccines are becoming available in the UK, and there's 7 million or so doses, I understand, already given. But in Malawi, we're weeks to months ahead of this, and we don't expect anything until summer. We need to make sure that we protect the healthcare workers and the population during that time while we're waiting for vaccines to come online. So asking people, and incredible generosity from people in the UK that have enabled us to buy more PPE, that if you're receiving vaccinations and you are in some ways one of the lucky ones to have been protected in that way, that maybe you can bump it forward. Maybe you can make a small donation to be able to keep us safe and keep my Malawi colleagues safe until these vaccines come online.
And just to finish with, you mentioned before you think some of your colleagues in Aintree may not recognise you. I'm sure they will, but you've been out there for 4 years and I'm sure you've kept a keen eye on what's been happening in the UK as well. I mean, how are you with that, looking from afar? How are your colleagues and how are the family doing?
It's difficult working at a distance in both directions. And it's clear, as you say, that commonality that it's the same the world over. There's this pain, there's suffering, there's fear, there's individual loss. There's really extraordinary commitment to amongst healthcare workers to delivering a high quality service and to getting people in the countries through this. And it's really obvious that it's the same across all of these places. I can see my colleagues in Liverpool, an Aintree at the Royal, working really hard with huge numbers of patients. That's just such a common experience that I think has actually brought us together, and we really understand the challenges of working in an environment where we don't perhaps always have all the resources we need, but we're working our best through them.
I know you are working very, very hard. Jeremy, we're going to leave it there. I know you're busy, but thanks for your time this morning. There's Dr.